We've seen over the last few weeks how the Michael Brown and Eric Garner cases have raised questions about how police are held accountable. The grand jury system seems to have dodged the question in both cases by failing to indict officers in the Garner and Brown cases. But what about other processes? In New York City, there is the Civilian Complaint Review Board. The CCRB handles 5,000 complaints a year with a small, inexperienced staff.
This place has never been looked at with a fresh new look as to how it can be an effective agency. It has stumbled along in mediocrity for 20 years.
And that's Richard Emery, chairman of the CCRB. What does that mediocrity look like? Well, files and individual complaints before the board are kept secret. But WNYC's Robert Lewis managed to look at some files of actual complaints last year, and suddenly you can see why disciplining police in New York seems to be so difficult. Robert Lewis is here, reporter for WNYC. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
So what exactly did you get a hold of, and what does it show you?
So I got a hold of a full investigative file. It's the entire file that investigators with the CCRB prepared, their draft reports, their final report, the evidence that they collected. In addition to that, I also got dozens of recordings of the different interviews that the investigator conducted, both with the complainants as well as the officers.
So what complaint, can we name names in the complaint?
Absolutely. So in 2013, a man named Warren Diggs was biking home from the store. He allegedly biked on the sidewalk at one point, which is illegal in New York City. Cops started following him. When he went into his driveway, they surrounded him. They said, give us your ID. And what happens next is subject to dispute. He says he told him it was inside and stepped in to get it. They say they told him not to go inside. Either way, they wrestled him out. He ended up getting pepper sprayed. And while all this was going on, his girlfriend comes out and at some point has one of their kids take the bike inside while he's being led away. And she ends up getting arrested for a felony for tampering with evidence. And I should add that Mr. Diggs was eventually found with two bags of marijuana on him. So he was also charged with possession.
So what was the complaint here and who filed it?
So they made both of them filed complaints.
Warren Diggs and his girlfriend.
Nafisa Hines, yes. Right. And what they were alleging was a couple things. One was excessive force. They're saying that he was basically beaten when he was taken to the ground and pepper sprayed. They're alleging that the cops didn't provide their names and shield numbers when asked. They were alleging abuse of authority. The cops allegedly went into the house after she was arrested. There was a question about whether or not they actually searched the home after she was arrested. So those were the core of the allegations.
And Diggs and Hines actually brought some audio evidence of what they experienced and presented that to the board. Listen.
So you're saying that all of this I just saw was because he was riding on a sidewalk?
No, no. All this you just saw is because he started fighting us. When we asked for ID, that's why.
Okay.
I stopped in the house so you grabbed
wait,
me.
Wait. Come here. Sorry.
Your man's grabbed me.
Give me a minute, okay?
You punched me in my face with me. I'm resisting. Yeah, somebody tried to pull you out your house. What the you gonna do?
So how did the CCRB respond to that evidence and others?
Well, when it comes to the force, I mean, maybe the biggest allegation, they let everybody off. They said effectively that he was resisting arrest. He acknowledges that he didn't give up his arms when they tried to handcuff him. And cops are given a lot of latitude in how much force they use. And therefore, they let off the cops for the use of force. The tape clearly shows that one officer, the arresting officer, the principal officer, Officer James Frascatori, did not give his name and shield number when asked. So one of the allegations against him was substantiated, and they recommended he be given, quote unquote, instructions on proper procedure. Also, and this is a little bit more of concern, he made some statements in the sworn criminal complaint that Nafisa Hines swore at him. There was a tug of war over the bike, and the tape clearly shows that never happened. It doesn't back up that allegation.
And how is this disposed of?
Well, that's part of the problem with this system. And we have no way to know in New York State how cops are disciplined. Discipline records are completely confidential in New York State, unlike some other states. And therefore, we know a recommendation was made to the NYPD, but we don't know if they took it seriously and what they did. And I reached out to the NYPD, and I couldn't even get basic. I said, where is this guy working? And they wouldn't tell me. And I said, well, can you just even tell me his rank? They wouldn't tell me.
And you did speak with Richard Emery, though, head of the CCRB, right?
That's correct. I spoke with Richard, and he's relatively new to leading the CCRB. He's a longtime civil rights attorney. And, you know, he sort of blasted the agency a bit for its practices in the past, says they weren't very uniform in their procedures and their interpretation of what is misconduct. And he is helping lead a sort of reorganization, trying to, in a lot of ways, professionalize them. And I should also add, one of the things he points out is that part of the reason a lot of complaints aren't substantiated is because they're very often he said, she said. And I think he actually said that, made that point pretty forcefully.
Most cases, if there's no videotape, or if there are no witnesses, or if there's no real corroboration of any reliable sort, are he said, she said cases. And in a pure he said, she said case, officer, no matter what my suspicions might be, no matter what my fellow board members' suspicions might be as to what really happened, the proof on the record is what we have to go by.
You know, in the wake of the Garner case, so many people have asked, listeners have asked, how are people going to be accountable? How are police going to be held accountable? What were the citizens in this case? What was their reaction to this whole process?
They were pretty frustrated by the whole process. I spoke to Nafisa Hines about that. And, you know, she basically said they were a good place to vent. And I asked her, you know, pretty flat out. I said, you know, what do you think of the CCRB?
Waste of time. Unless, you know, if you want to have somebody who will listen to you, if you can tell your story, you can feel like, you know, you've got to tell your story. Absolutely. They were fantastic with that. But other than that, it was a waste of time.
So the question of how to restore trust, there's not a process in place in New York to do that based on your investigation.
Well, and it's very unclear what the NYPD is doing or is going to do. They've said they're doing retraining. They said they're taking disciplinary procedures more seriously. But we've just continued to find evidence of officers with allegations and complaints of excessive force not being taken off the streets.
And exactly, still on the force. Robert Lewis is a WNYC reporter looking into how police are held accountable, if at all, for the use of excessive violence. Thanks, Robert.
Thank you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.